Pat.
Yeah, just a point that on this technology and its usefulness in capitalism, technology is a commodity. It's produced for sale at a profit. Because some things have been found, because there's been progress, if you like, in certain technologies, it doesn't necessarily mean that in human terms they are necessary. They're necessary to the system. And there are things like GM crops, for example, that they are in the interest of the big companies, the Monsantos and all the other big companies, and it gives them a monopoly over in agriculture, over the seeds and things that farmers do. And while there may be some uses in it, it may not be necessary in order to produce enough food for the world, if you like, under socialism. I mean, as an aside, enough food is produced now. The problem is that people not having the money to buy it under certain circumstances. But it's very likely that enough food could be produced in a socialist world where food is produced simply to be eaten without some of these technologies. And that's not an argument for not using them should they prove necessary, but they may not prove necessary. And as a friend over here said, the needs for energy, for fuels, will not be quite the same, which and yes, emphatically doesn't mean going back to the turnips or whichever root crop you mentioned and eaten by candlelight, but how much of the fuel is necessary. And I mean, the point that I sort of started with, that this fracking technology is being used or being pushed for certain reasons, and part of the reasons is the security of supplies of oil, which in a capitalist world where oil comes from amongst other places, but some very what I might call disturbed parts of the world, and if countries can get fuel out of their own ground without having to import it, that's a reason for going for it. But it is partly this, that for whatever there is that can be produced for whatever to get a profit out of it, it is going to be done. But it's not necessarily the case that all of this technology will be necessary, which is not an argument against using technology, but just that we may not need it anyway.
Yeah. Before I ask, yes, I know. I think at this stage I'm going to pass the collection bowl around. And ask you to contribute if you so. You're not obliged to, as we all say, but any contribution will be gratefully accepted. We've got an election campaign coming up next year, which we've been discussing this morning. If it's going to cost the party a considerable amount of money, if all the plans that we've agreed actually go into fruition, so we need. We need every little coin or piece of paper that you can spare. Whilst you're having a correction, just to draw your attention to programme of meetings next year, early next year, starting on 18th of January, Sunday the 18th of January, there will be talk by Mike Foster on homelessness and health. That's Sunday, 18th of January. There are some. There's some of these sheets I think are on the chairs, yes they are. which give four meetings in January, February and March. There are also, I believe, going to be a couple of film evenings, am I right?
Hopefully,
which are not actually on the list, but are to be arranged or to be agreed. So I just, you know, keep an eye on the website, keep an eye on the standard. There is also a likelihood of a seasonal social here on the 20th of December, Saturday the 20th of December. Details aren't finalised yet, but I think almost certainly something will happen on the Saturday before Yuletide here at Head Office on the 20th of December. So, but anyway, more about that in due course. Howard, do you want to come back on something or make a... I think Adam wants to come back.
No, I'm just saying, I think, can't we come back before...
I think Adam feels he needs to redress the balance of it. Yeah. go on.
Well...
Don't let him. Tackle first.
I want to make... two general points again. Somebody said that fracking is like raping the earth and that sort of thing, but... All agriculture is upsetting the previously existing ecology. If we didn't do any agriculture, this area here, in its natural state, would be a deciduous forest of some sort. So I mean, all production is involved with changing the nature of nature. So I mean, in fact, fracking or mining or anything isn't anything new. Agriculture does that as well. And on the other point about... how much energy we need to use in a socialist society. What would we need energy for? Presumably, we're going to have electricity. We're not going to have candles. We're going to have electricity. What we're arguing about now is...
Can't we have both?
What we're doing now.
What we're arguing... Well, incidentally, I don't know what candles... What are candles made from? Whales or something? We're going to kill all yeah. I don't know what candles... Anyway, let's not get sidetracked. what we're going to say now. Anyway, we're going to have electricity in the socialist system of society. Presumably going to, you know, for all the sort of things we've got here, that. So what we're arguing about is how are we going to generate electricity? Now, most electricity is generated today by raising steam to turn turbines. How are we going to do it? How are we going to turn the turbines? Are we going to burn coal? Are we going to burn gas? Are we going to burn oil? Or are we going to have hydroelectricity? Yeah, we're going to have wind power. We're going to have tidal power. Yeah. So I mean, that's what the argument's about. Not about whether we need electricity. Obviously, we're going to need electricity, yeah. And probably a lot more electricity because there are lots of parts of the world which haven't got it. I mean, okay, we can develop other things like. Solar power, but I mean, let's be realistic about it. If we want to have the same sort of standard of living, that's not the right word, sort of living that we've got now electricity, we're going to have to find one way or another of generating electricity. But of course, what's happening in this argument is we're skipping between capitalism and socialism. In socialism, pointed out, rationally organised, rationally planned, so we can actually have a rational energy policy, but you can't have this under capitalism. I mean, the reason why they haven't developed hydroelectricity, apart from the fact that there aren't waterfalls all over the place in Britain, is it's been cheaper to other forms. Anyway, once they start building dams in Turkey and Egypt, who are the first person protesting against it? The green ecologists. We're destroying the whole environment. So I mean, it's they can't have it. Both ways. Now, I come back to the definition which Steve gave of fracking. It was fracking is the extraction of gas, the lowest cost for a profit. That is not a definition of fracking. That is why fracking is done under caps. All the arguments that have been put against fracking have been, well, it's short-termism, it's for profit, it's cost, it's security of supply. These are not arguments against the technology of fracking. They're against the reasons why fracking is being introduced under capitalism. And all the things, all the technologies which are introduced under capitalism, you know, run the risk of cutting corners and being unsafe. The point is, are we in principle against fracking? Are we in principle against nuclear power? Are we in principle against, you know, GM crops to be managed? I mean, you could have GM crops, which would allow crops to grow much further north than they than they are now, or in much drier soil. I mean, we shouldn't reject all these technologies. If this quote at the end of your article, if something can be made technologically safe, it doesn't harm the people who work, it doesn't harm the people living there, it doesn't harm the environment. If that can be done with a technology, why shouldn't we? Well, at least why should we be opposed to it in principle? I say no. It's not the technology that's the problem. It's the use which the technology is put under capitalism. So if we can somehow distinguish between what we think can happen in socialism and what happens now under capitalism, not use arguments against what capitalism does to practices fracking as an argument against the whole principle of it.
Steve, yes.
Yeah, what I'm actually saying is that fracking is a technology, it's in use in capitalism, but I'm actually saying, and I think I agree with Carla, that I don't think it can be made safe. I think fundamentally, I mean, even Paddy says it in his Pathfinders article, he says, the idea of blowing up the ground under our feet may seem intuitively alarming. Well, that says it all, doesn't it? I mean, as Jacqueline pointed out, that's really where I'm coming from. I'm actually, as a socialist, I don't oppose technology. I mean, I don't want to go back to living in a cave in socialism or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, there won't be a world left to inherit for a world socialist society because capitalism will have destroyed it by using these technologies. So that's really my point. And in the case of Britain, I mean, the size of 10 to 20,000 wells, like, say, snaking underground like an octopus, like 60% of the countryside. I mean, the point about levels of energy needed in socialism will be different. Yeah, I agree. But at the moment, it is a short-term dash for gas, and it will stop the sort of pursuit of wind, solar, tidal, and hydroelectric renewable sources of power. I mean, I'd say, obviously, we still need to generate electricity in socialism. And I mean, I think Carl's point about nuclear power was really good. I mean, when there's an accident with nuclear power, or when there's even an accident with fracking, I mean, the effects are going to be catastrophic. So what I'm actually saying is socialists should oppose fracking, not because it's a capitalist technology, and because I don't believe it can be made safe. That's what I'm saying. And I think all this evidence of earth tremors, the impact on renewable energy sources, the fact that we're going away from that, the climate change thing. I mean, if climate change isn't dealt with, and we do get socialism in 100 or 200 years, well, we probably will have to live in a cave because the capitalism will have destroyed the planet. That's about it, really.
Okay, thanks. I think Howard wanted us to say something more.
A couple of things just to respond over here. I mean, one of the sort of major thoughts about energy policy going forward is about small scale power generation. I mean, the idea of small local power plants, because one of the ways in which having massive power plants and the large distribution networks, a lot of the power is actually lost in the distribution. It's an incredibly inefficient way to do things. It used to be the case that quite a few local authorities used to run their own power stations. There used to be one shortage. Okay, I think the motto of the borough was "Life and Heat for the People." In Shoreditch Town Hall, used to have their own. A number of local authorities are now working with an energy company. I'm trying to remember who it is. It's one of the eco companies at the moment to set up their local generation.
Saturn.
I can't remember who it is.
Saturn.
I got a feeling there's something happening in Bournemouth or something like that. But they're working with a local eco electricity company to set up their own generation. And the idea of small scale generation, alongside things like combined heat and power schemes, okay, which is something which is quite common in places like Denmark, where, for instance, you use the heat escapes from power stations to heat water, which then you supply free to everybody. Mm-hmm. So you've got free hot water. There's loads of ways in which you can be a lot more efficient in your energy production. But also, energy use in this country is ludicrously inefficient. I mean, this business about we use exactly the same amount. Just look at Canary Wharf at night. It is like a flipping beacon. I mean, there must be gigawatts of electricity being burnt here. On adverts every night, neon signs everywhere. This is an incredibly wasteful world. The level of heat insulation in our buildings is appalling. You know, schools all have, you know, efficiency charts and what have you. Estate agents are supposed to generate this. We're incredibly inefficient. We could improve efficiency incredibly, you know, than we do. And so there are ways we can address this. Secondly, with regard to the idea of the world, I mean, the idea of covering, you know, vast areas of empty desert with photovoltaic cells, which are becoming incredibly more efficient at the moment and incredibly more cheap, you know, it's not an incredibly stupid idea, and moreover, it would be an income stream for those countries which at the moment have very little. Okay, there are a whole range of different ways of energy generation that we don't look at. With regards to hydropower, in actual fact, Scotland generates the majority of its energy by hydropower at the moment. Well, you know, it's not some sort of nutty idea. I mean, this is possible. We're an island. We're surrounded by tidal inlets everywhere. There's loads of areas. And one of the problems with fracking is that it diverts investment away from the coast. That's one of the major problems. That's a fact. It is. And at the same time as we've got people like old people who's complaining like crazy about wind farms and a lot of the landscape, I spent a week up at Borkum. I was involved in the Borkum protest. The noise from that drilling rig is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. It is lit like a bloody football stadium. It is, I mean, there are huge numbers of compensation claims from the residents of Borkum, which is about half a mile away, because they can't sleep at night because of the racket. The amount of traffic that's going in and out of there is just colossal. Great big trucks coming in backwards and forwards all the time. It is a major impact on the country. With regard to things like, you know, GM crops would allow us to, you know, grow things further north than we can at the moment. If we don't do something about the burning of fossil fuels, we won't need GM crops because the north will be so much hotter. We'll be able to grow wheat there.
Exactly.
We can grow grapes there. I don't know if you know this, but where I live at the moment in Sussex is being bought up large scale by French champagne producers, because it's the same piece of chalk as in Champagne, and they predict that the climate in that part of the world in 25 years' time will be perfect for growing champagne. We've already got Breaky Bottom and all sorts of fizzy wines, and they think that's where the good crews are going to be coming from. Right? That's the way things are going already. With regard to what is fracking, we're talking about definition. Fracking is pumping huge quantities of toxins under the ground, is what it's doing, and leaving them there largely. These things stay there. Now, it can't be right to be pumping a load of rubbish under the ground. These are high, toluenes. These are not nice chemicals. These are highly toxic. These leach out all over the place. And you don't, why is it American fracking companies are paying people off left, right, and centre to shut them up? All sorts of confidentiality deals and compensations and what have you. People can't talk. Also, because this stuff leaches all over. It's fundamentally an unsafe technology. There are some technologies, I'm not opposed to technology per se, but we have to be intelligent and pick and choose. Biological weaponry is technology. Lobotomies are technology. But we don't just welcome all of them with open arms and say, we need all this in socialism. What we do is we pick and choose those ones which are likely to be of optimum benefit for the majority of the population and not degrade the world at the same time.
Thank you. Jacqueline.
I agree a lot with what Howard has just said, but I have to go to Vladimir, one of my favourites, of course, because he comes with the whole thing. We will use, in the Western world at least, a lot less energy. The other parts of the world, the majority side, we are going to need to use the best that we can, the most efficient that we can, etc., etc., etc. And hydro, something or other, using water dams and all this, I'm all in favour of, despite knowing that the oceans are polluted now. However, this view of less use in the Western world frees up. We should be trying to find the most efficient way and sustainable way of doing what's best for the rest of the world while we're cleaning up the mess of capitalism. We won't have all these neon signs and everything else, etc., etc., all the lighting and all the rest of the waste of electricity while we're sitting freezing in our own homes because we cannot afford to pay the gas bill, the electric bill, and everything else. Now, I'd like to say something about a technology called GM crops. Now, I'll take Africa as an example, parts of it, where they grow their own food, feed their own people, etc., etc., and export to most of the world, the food basket of the world as they've been known. They have now been told that you've got to buy these seeds, GM crops. You can only use them 1 year, GM crops. I've done gardening, horticulture, botany, and it's told me that the earth, if you don't look after it, then forget about any plans for the future. This is what we're standing on. This is what we live on. You know, everything comes from the earth. GM crops are a profit-making, de-skilling form of technology that's coming to force from the Westerners, where most of the world is de-skilled in how they grew, fed their families, bartered at markets, went to markets and sold their food in capitalism. This has been a disaster for many of the people, but the Westerners think it's great. You can have rapeseed oil, you can have this, you can have that, but for the rest of the world, it's not been a good thing. We don't hear their voices because they're silent. They are poor, much poorer than we are. If we, as international socialists, can't do better for all of us, rather than worrying about our own little yard and everything else, GM crops are not a good technology. I beg your pardon, they can be. That is a technology that can be made safe. It is a technology that can improve all our health. But they don't tell you about the sort of dangerous plants. So there are a lot of toxin plants. If you knew how many plants are actually dangerous to humans, dangerous to pets, and in the Western world we worry about our cats and dogs. They are dangerous to them. You learn about these things in botany and horticulture. That technology can be made safe and can actually feed the world. However, we've got super strains of plants now that are killing off other plants that are not beneficial to bees. We need them to pollinate. Without bees, without insects, without flies, all the stuff we swat and all that sort of stuff, all those insects, those things have to be attracted to living plants for us to get food, unless we're going to, you know, be scientific and be doing it all ourselves. The other thing I wanted to say is I'm more with this, what Vladimir come out with. Who? Sustainable...
Who's Vladimir?
Ludovic.
My friend here. Sustainable, and he wants socialism. Not a little bit of socialism and a lot of capitalism. He wants socialism. I've said enough. I think you've got the gist of where I'm coming from.
No, get away.
Thank you. You said sure. It all, actually.
Okay, this is a thank you for a collection of £40, 41 pence. Thank you very much. Carla, did I see your hand again?
Yes, you did. Actually, Trivial Pursuit question recently. Majority of the world's electricity is hydroelectric power.
True.
And I was dumbfounded. I thought, it's got to be nuclear or something, but it isn't. And just one fact about fracking again. There are 500,000 wells in America. 500,000. Each well in its lifetime will take approximately 400
tons of water.
No, 400 tanker trucks of water. That's fresh water. Now that's going to happen under socialism if we do that, as well as capitalism. So that's what it takes, and that's fresh water.
Bill,
our speakers regularly get up, and one of the things that we bang on about at great length is, and I haven't checked the figures for years, probably not going to be that high this year because it's been quite a mild winter, but about 20,000 excess winter deaths occur in the UK every year. Now, it's one thing to talk about reducing our energy bills, but the first thing we're going to do in socialism is increase the amount of energy for people's homes, exactly, so that we don't lose 20,000 people every year. And we're going to have to use every available source of energy we can as part of that initial boost. Now, there are only two sources of energy that we have available. One is the sun, and the other is radioactive elements from the earth that have come from other sources other than the sun. That's the only places we're going to get energy from. Now, in order to adequately harvest the sun in future, we're going to have to use a lot of energy in order to produce the machinery and tools of renewable resources in order to be able to capture that tidal or wind or solar energy from the Sahara. And the only way we're going to do that, the only way we're going to bootstrap ourselves up, is by burning fossil fuels. That's the long and the short of it. In the beginning of socialism, we're going to need to get our hands on these things. And if they've all been used up by capitalism first, we're going to have to go scratching around in the dirt and in the corners to get the last available scraps in order to build our renewable resources so that the whole of the world can have the energy not only to keep them warm up here, but to keep them cool in the equator. Because obviously one of the things they say, you know, one of the joys of global warming will be that we won't have as many excess winter deaths from cold in this country. We'll have more people dying of heat stroke in the summer, though. So it's all right. There's swings that come with every single roundabout. So it's important that what we put first is that we will be making sure that we will have the human beings, that we will have the capacity to produce the energy, and we will need to use fossil fuels to create that capacity. So yes, we can put something like a mirror over the Sahara, and then, you know, shift the energy around by synthesized hydrocarbons or through a pipeline, through an electricity cable. We know for a fact that the wind is always blowing somewhere in Northern Europe, so we can have sustainable and long-term wind power, but it has to be through not a local system, but it has to be a European, North European-wide wind electricity system. And where I'm from, the town Brecker, we've just had a wind farm plumped off our beach, and are now energy sufficient. Brecker could screw the lot of you. Sorry, we're going home. But the important thing is that we use the technology available to produce these sustainable resources, and we're not going to be able to do it without some use of fossil fuels. And if it's not going to be the shale gas, it's going to be going back down the mines and getting what's left of the coal mines that the capitalists are leaving, waiting until they're profitable again.
Right. Yeah. Anyone new? Anyone want to come back again? Oh, Jacqueline, again?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, being in a system like capitalism, there are many people who, like ourselves, agree with what we're saying, may not want to join us, but they may be scientists, they may be agriculturists, blah, 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 who have actually put in plans or kind of like research this stuff and come out with something. We don't see this information unless you know where to look. I am sure that there are people out there who will tell you, you do not need fracking, this can do it, that can do it, and that can do it. That's what we should be doing.
But the point is, we're not going to be able to do that until we get a rationally, until we can rationally plan our energy production and distribution. Look, one of the environmental problem, human-caused global warming and so forth, is, to me, one of the most greatest and most important arguments for us to be going towards some sort of post-capitalist society for the socialisation of resources. You know, because if not, we're going to be in serious trouble, I think. I mean, it's not going to be the end of the world. There's going to be a world there. There just may not be human beings. I mean, but I mean, you know, and that's the point I think I was trying to make, you know, earlier on. You see, technology is used within a capitalist mode of production, like Steve's pointed out, to do things as cheaply as possible. Human need doesn't come into it. You know, environmental consequences don't come into it. Some technologies you can look at and say are inherently good. I mean, you know, say, to take an example from the late 18th, early 19th century, automation of production of machines. Now, what do they still call people who are anti-technologists these days? Luddites. Actually, I think Luddites were pretty progressive members of the working class fighting against our exploitation by smashing machines to get rid of these machines that were threatening their livelihoods.
Exactly.
Now,
not all
in a post-capitalist society, obviously automation and things like that will replace human labour to free us up for more leisure time. But in the meantime, when we still need to sell our labour power for money, it's going to make a lot of people a lot more poorer. You know, and ask any supermarket worker whether they like automated tills or not. You know, because that's their overtime and some of their mates' jobs going away. Yeah. I can tell you that right now. So yeah, they might be a good thing in one sense, but in other ways, they're absolutely horrible. Cars are absolutely great. It's just the things that they admit that are bad. You know, it's the internal combustion engine. If you get decent cars that can be, electric cars that can get you from A to B, great, have at it. I mean, obviously, you'll need mass transport systems as well. You know, why don't we have a decent high-speed electrified railway system in this country? Well, because beaching was in the pocket of the road lobby and closed down. I mean, you can have an absolute act of
social and environmental vandalism in the 1960s, the way the railway network in this country was butchered. Yeah, and of course, you know, they're actually, even under terms of capitalism, they're having to rebuild railways, and you know, as we speak. So you can temper or angle the edges, but small is definitely not beautiful in this context. And like I say, you know, we need to socialise resources. We need to end capitalism. We need to democratically run our society for ourselves and our own interests, and not in the interest of private profit.
That's can I ask another question, Dave? Chair.
Yeah, okay.
The Green Party will be standing in this next election, as will the others, but as they're seen as the environmentalist shallow group, because ecologists, of course, go much deeper, and I think international socialists, we can call ourselves that, ecologists. Can anyone say in this room what their main stance is? I know they're against fracking on this, but do they come with any actual evidence, facts, or is it all emotion and sound bites or what? Can anyone answer that for me? I would like to know. Thank you, Steve.
Well, I don't want to admit it, but I had a look at the Green Party website before I drew up this. So, I mean, I only did this Friday and Saturday, and obviously I used the Green Party website to see what they were actually saying. So some of the stuff I've actually pulled out about earth tremors, impact on renewable energy and pollution, these are all like scientific facts and climate change, what I was quoting in my talk. I've pulled from, say, the Green Party website and various articles in the newspapers. So, yeah, I mean, it's all what I've said is all, like, scientifically proven. I mean, you know, I mean, Adam's not arguing against that, you know. There are these impacts, earth tremors, and there is pollution caused by fracking. And, I mean, I don't think the Green Party are necessarily, like, opposing it on emotional grounds. I mean, I'm not opposing it on emotional grounds either. And I agree with you, as a socialist, I think of myself as an eco-socialist. I think, as I've tried to, like, you know, I maybe said too many quotes from Engels and Marx, but, you know, they're talking about, you know, mankind or humanity is interwoven with nature. We're part of nature. So I think as myself as a socialist, I'm an eco-socialist, I'm an ecologist, or whatever you want to call it, an environmentalist.
Thank you, Steve.
I'm trying to sort of bring this to a close, unless anybody desperately wants to say something, and give the two speakers an opportunity to. Rob.
Steve's just been saying.
Go on then.
A book comrades may find very profitable to read is by a guy called John Bellum Foster called Marx's Ecology. Came out a couple of years ago. It's absolutely superb. I've got problems with Bellum Foster on other ways, in other ways, but in that, it's superb. And I think it refers to a lot of things.
Bellamy?
Foster.
John Bellamy Foster.
Yeah. I've just said one thing, which is just a micro generation. I mean, two areas that you haven't talked about, which is first of all geothermal heating. And secondly, I mean, you can get air exchange heaters now. But secondly, solar water heating. I'm still studying heating in a house I have. You can make these things yourself, bottom up your central heating system, for not much cost. And you can reduce your power bills by an order of 30%. You know, and this is, I mean, if you did that throughout the country, if every house had to be fitted with solar water, had to be fitted, you know, these things can be done.
Sure, but why aren't they? You know, it's a social context, and that's.
Oh no.
I think it was a great example. Like, I used to live in a community where everywhere was heated by solar power. It was absolutely marvellous.
Yeah.
All right, but do you want to know the social context of that community? Or it was a kibbutz in Israel. We were living on land that was made of Palestinians.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, it all comes from somewhere.
No, that doesn't gainsay the efficiency of solar water heating. I mean, okay, the Israelis are doing it, so are the Austrians, so are the Germans, so are a whole range of people. It's common throughout the Mediterranean. Okay.
You're missing the point. I'm saying this comes from a certain social context, a certain historical material set circumstances, the technology, but you know, there are reasons why it's not been developed and it's not in mass use.
Well,
it won't be unless we get rid of capitalism.
I'm saying it could be, and that would offer a small scale contribution.
Sure.
Right, who's anyone else, or I'll get the two speakers to make some closing remarks. Yeah? Who wants to go first? Anna?
No, one word that we've been banding about here is we. Somebody once pointed out that we is the most important word in political language. I mean, people are saying we must oppose fracking. We must oppose fracking under capitalism, must we? I mean, you asked a question about the Green Party. I mean, that's their policy. They think you can have, under capitalism, environment before profit. They think you can stop fracking if it's cheaper than something else. But you can't. You can't. It's if you can put it this way, it's tilting at windmills or tilting at whatever they wind farms and things. So I mean, if we're talking about what being opposed to fracking now, do we want the Socialist Party to get involved in these campaigns and go on these demonstrations? Well, we know it's futile. That's what the Green Party does. Now, once we've got socialism, we mean something else. We mean the whole community. We can do all these things. We can have small scale things. And incidentally, the rather larger scale thing you talked about solar panels in the Sahara Desert. I mean, that would require, as has been pointed out, a worldwide electricity grid. We can do what we want. We can have small scale things. We can have large scale things. We can have fracking. We can not have fracking. So, on the question that Bill raised, that the only alternative to fracking might be burning coal or oil. And coal can last us, if we don't have socialism for 500 years, there'll still be enough coal. I think the only alternative one is actually nuclear power. Okay, that's got other problems, as you say, about what you do with the nuclear waste. But you have to make a decision. If that's the only way to stop global warming, it's the only way to stop burning, fossil fuels, then that's what we'll have to do. And in any event, for the first, I don't know how long it takes to run down a nuclear plant, but say it's 50 years, we may as well use them anyway because they're there. Because if you try and close them down, they'll still be generating, there'll still be nuclear reactions going on. So, I mean, I think that the sensible position here was one written in the Socialist Standard. Fortunately, Steve, it says Steve Clayton here, but it says socialists argue that fracking is a mining technology, and if it can be made safe, and if we need it, we may use it in socialism. I think that's a cautious, precautionary statement as to about not we will use it, but if it can be made safe, we can use it. There's no necessarily objection to it in principle.
Steve.
Could we have part two of this talk?
Hold on a minute. Let's finish part one first.
I haven't really anything more to add, really. But like I said, I just think that it can't be made safe, and it's all idea. We're in capitalism now, and I mean, I'm not advocating that the party engage in a reformism and sort of like we oppose fracking and like get involved in any activities like that. But I mean, I think it's worth pointing out that we could have a position on it. And the position would be that the idea of blowing up the ground under our feet is intuitively alarming, as the Pathfinder's column actually stated. So, and the fact that it is actually diverting attention away from developing renewable resources. So I haven't really got anything to add to what I said earlier. I just want to go back again. Now, I did define fracking at the beginning, Adam, where I defined it as a process of drilling down into the earth. And then later on, I mentioned that someone described it, a capitalist described it in America, as a drilling for natural gas in the least expensive way to make the highest profits. So I did define fracking at the beginning of the talk, because you did reference me saying that fracking was about drilling in the least expensive way to make the highest profits. I did define it at the beginning. Like I say, I think fracking is, the earth will be fracked by fracking, and there'll be no earth left for world socialism. So, I mean, the party can have a position, surely can have a position on it, and I don't think we'll be able to use it in socialism.
Okay, thanks very much.
And thank you for attending. And don't forget the series of meetings here on Sundays next year, and hopefully a social on the 20th of December. So thanks once again, and refreshments, as you know, will be up on the balcony, and good night. Thank you.